He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. On this, the third Sunday of Easter, we gather in worship and praise, remembering our risen Lord, remembering that through him, we also have that promise of resurrection and life eternal. So we want to welcome everyone who is worshiping here this day as we come together with one another and as we come together in the house of the Lord. Let us begin our worship with the singing of hymn 525, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne, a cow the heavenly anthem drowns, all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for me, and hail him as thy matchless King through all eternity. Crown him the Virgin Son, the God incarnate born, whose arms those crimson trophies won, which now his brow adorn. Fruit of the mystic rose, that rose the stem, the root whence mercy ever flows, the babe of Bethlehem.
Crown him
the Lord of love, behold his hands and side, rich wounds yet visible above, in beauty.
Would you please rise? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves.
We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Forgive us,
renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name.
Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We will join together now in speaking responsively the introit, Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up.
And have not let my foes rejoice over me.
O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help.
And you have healed me.
O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol.
You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit.
Sing praises to the Lord, O you, his saints.
And give thanks to his holy name.
For his anger is but for a moment,
and his favor is for a lifetime.
Weeping may tarry for the night,
but joy comes with the morning.
As for me, I said in my prosperity,
I shall never be moved.
But you, by your favor, O Lord,
you made my mountain stand strong.
You hid your face.
I was dismayed.
To you, O Lord, I cry.
And to the Lord I plead for mercy.
What profit is there in my death?
If I go down to the pit,
will the dust praise you?
Will it tell of your faithfulness?
Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me.
O Lord, be my helper.
You have turned for me my mourning into dancing.
You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness,
that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent.
O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. For our God.
Alleluia,
alleluia, alleluia. Worthy is Christ the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God.
This is the feast of victory for
power, riches, wisdom, and strength.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
At this time in the service, the choir will be sharing their anthem, He is the Risen Lord. Special thank you to the members of the choir for sharing your voices and your praises with us to aid us in our worship. The first reading on this, the third Sunday of Easter, from Acts chapter 9. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise, and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he was without sight, and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." And he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas, look for a man of Tarsus named Saul. For behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I've heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon this name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle, which is also the text for our meditation today, from Revelation chapter 5. Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly, because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its 7 seals. And between the throne and the 4 living creatures, and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with 7 horns and with 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the 4 living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you were ransomed, people of God. Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your people you ransomed people of God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Would you please rise?
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 21st chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show him by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We join together in professing our Christian faith as we speak the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Amen.
Would you please be seated? This portion of the service has been set aside for the instruction of the children. I'd like to have them come and join me for the children's message. Well, good morning. It's great to see you today. How are you?
Good.
All right. Do you remember what special day we celebrated just 2 weeks ago?
Easter.
Easter.
Yeah, Palm Sunday,
and Palm Sunday too, also very special days. Well, one thing that people think about when they think about Easter is what?
That Jesus rose again from the dead.
That Jesus rose from the dead. You're right, you got the important part about Easter. But something else that usually people think about on Easter is candy. Huh? Don't look shocked. What is it?
It's an M&M.
It's an M&M. And you know what? This M&M can tell us a story. It's the best news that you're ever going to hear. It's all about Jesus dying on the cross so that we could be brought near. So hold the M&M and we turn them and you will see the M becomes a... The M becomes a W.
And an E.
And also a three. Depending on how you hold it. Well, the E stands for, what do you think?
Easter.
For Easter. You're right. We think about God's love for us and his eternal plan. It reminds us of the cross, because by his death, God rescued all of us. Now the three...
is for 3 days.
Oh, yes. The three represents those 3 days that Jesus spent in the grave. You see, by his death, us, his children, he came to save. And the M, oh, that might be tougher to think about. The M reminds us that he is the
Messiah.
Very good. And the mercy that he showed as he died in our place. M could also make us think about the miracle of the resurrection. That we could see him face to face. And finally, the W might remind us, well, you know what we're doing here today?
Worship.
We are worshiping him. Very, very good. He is alone, is the one who is worthy of our worship and praise. And he calls you and I, he calls us to be his witnesses all around the world for all of our days. In other words, we can tell other people all about Jesus and his love for us. Well, that's all for this morning. Thanks for coming up. What do you think might be in here?
M&M's.
You're right, M&M's.
The Lamb, the Lamb, O Father, where's the sacrifice faith sees, believes, God will provide the Lamb of Christ. Worthy is the Lamb whose death makes me his own. The
mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. Our text from Revelation begins, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Pastor Gordon MacDonald admits that he had a lot of misconceptions about God when he was a little boy. Fact is that the church that he attended as a child had a mysterious silver ladder that led up to a storage room above the ceiling, under the ceiling. And the children of the church were forbidden to climb the ladder. You know, and this created a lot of excitement in Gordon's mind, because he thought for sure that that must be the place where God lived. Little Gordon drew three conclusions about God from his early church experience. One is that God lived in the upstairs storage room, and that he monitored the church services to make sure that everybody was worshiping correctly. Two, up there, God controlled the weather. And finally, only grown-ups were allowed to climb up the ladder and talk to God directly. Children weren't allowed into his presence. Well, let me ask you this morning, what is it that you would like to happen when you come into this house of worship? I mean, people who study what happens in church tell us that most people come into church, they want to experience God. We want to see him. We want to touch him. We want to feel his presence. And we love experiencing the fellowship of other believers. And we love singing the hymns of faith. But most of all, we're hungry for an experience of transcendence. But how can humans, with our feeble senses, how can we possibly experience the Almighty? Our focus today is on the book of Revelation, the book that seeks to usher us into the presence of God. And this morning's lesson, it began where it should. It begins with Jesus. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne and the living creatures and the elders. And they numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, singing with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. It says, then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, all of them singing to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb, be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Really, so this is where we start. As we just sang in the hymn, Worthy is the Lamb. And so I would say that touching God begins with Jesus. I mean, for Christians, there is no other way to approach God. We can't reach him with our brains, and God is beyond space and time. We can't reach up to him. We're not going to find him with our telescopes. We're not going to hear him with sensitive listening devices. All we can know about God is what God chooses to disclose to us. And as Christians, we believe that God chose to reveal himself through the life of one person, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus is the primary means by which we touch God. You know, that might sound a little narrow-minded to many people today. The idea that Jesus is the primary means by which we touch God. Years ago, there was an article in Christianity Today that told about a pastor who had a fascinating way of approaching the subject of truth. And this particular pastor starts each confirmation class with a jar full of jelly beans. And he asks the students to guess how many beans are in the jar. And then he writes down their guesses on a big pad of paper. And then he helps them to make a list of their favorite songs. And when both lists are complete, he reveals the actual number of beans that are in the jar. And so the whole class looks over their guesses to see whose estimate was the closest to being right. And then the pastor turns to the list of favorite songs. And which one of those songs is closest to being right? And the students protest that there is no right answer because a person's favorite song is strictly a matter of taste. But then he asks, when you decide what to believe in terms of your faith, is that more like guessing the number of beans, or is it more like choosing your favorite song? And he says he always gets the same answer, regardless of the student's age, that choosing one's faith is like choosing a favorite song. Think about it. This is a critical question. Is your religious faith just a matter of taste? Or is there an absolute standard that we can use to judge the accuracy of religious belief? Just as we can measure how many jelly beans there are in a jar. Well, for those of us who follow Jesus, there is an absolute standard for religious faith. And that standard is Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb that was slaughtered. Because you see, without Jesus, we are free to believe all kinds of idiotic things about God. And you know, you and I know that there are a whole myriad of religions out there. And many people are extremely zealous for their religion and are extremely sincere about their faith. But a person can be sincerely wrong. This is important. This needs to be said. I believe with all my heart that Jesus is not just a good teacher, that he's the standard by which we judge the true in religious life. I mean, without Jesus, we can believe that God wants us to kill people in his name. I mean, that's what some people believe. If you are an infidel, if you're an unbeliever, then your life is worthless, and killing you would honor God. And there have been fanatics in almost every religion imaginable who've had that attitude toward people who hold other beliefs. But then you come to Jesus and you hear him say, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. You see, without Jesus, we might believe that God is cruel and vengeful, and that he wreaks havoc on people's lives for no apparent reason. But then we hear Jesus say about God, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. And he sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. You see, God is not a cruel, vengeful God. God is a God who has created a world of order, from which we derive all of our material blessings. Yes, sometimes people suffer as a consequence of this natural order or because of human sin. But I'm going to say that's not God's will. God's will is for health and wholeness for all of God's children. You see, without Jesus, we have no model for abundant living. And we all need role models, don't we? We need examples. We need heroes to show us what is possible, to inspire us to be our best. And Jesus is that model. He shows us how a person filled with God's Spirit will live. Kind, forgiving, generous, caring, strong, willing to sacrifice everything for his friends. Do you want to know how God wants us to live? Then look at Jesus' life. Because the fact is, without Jesus, you and I have no hope of life everlasting. He's not just our teacher, our model, and our example. The fact is that Jesus is our Savior. And through his death and his resurrection, we have found life that is eternal. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Easter. However, one day out of the year is not sufficient to appreciate the significance of Christ's resurrection. He's risen.
He's risen indeed.
Hallelujah. The fact is, I think we need an Easter season comparable to the Christmas season. I mean, after all, for a lot of people, we start celebrating Christmas just after the 4th of July. Or at least it seems that way. But it's a shame that we don't put that much emphasis on Easter. And I think that's why the early church changed the celebration of the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Because Christ was raised from the dead on Sunday. And so they believed that it was important that every seventh day would be a celebration of Christ's resurrection. That we would remember that world-changing event. Before the empty tomb, there was the cross. The cross on which the Prince of Glory died. And by his death, we are raised to new life. You see, when God made a commitment to us, it was written in blood, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's our faith. And if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. There's a story about a father who, on a dark, stormy night, in the midst of the thunder's crash and the lightning's flash, he woke up and he thought about his small son up alone in his room upstairs. Thought that he might be scared. So he went upstairs with his flashlight to check on the boy to see if everything was all right. And he was flashing his light around the room when the boy awakened and said, "Who's there? Who's in my room?" And the father's first thought was to flash the light in the face of the youngster. But then he thought, "No, if I do that, I'm just going to frighten him all the more." And so what he did was he turned the light on his own face. "Oh, it's you, Dad." And the father said, "Yes, it's Dad. And I'm just here checking on things. Everything's okay, so go back to sleep." And the little boy went back to sleep. Well, God wanted to release us from our fears, and so he shined a light on his own face. And we saw the face of Jesus, and we knew that it was the face of God. So I want to ask again, how do we touch God? We begin with Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen.
What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will offer the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call on the name of the Lord. I will take the cup of salvation and will call on the name of the Lord.
Gracious God, receive these offerings that we bring, returning just a portion of your blessings to us. Lord, make them useful for the work of your church, that your word might be proclaimed, and that your Spirit might work through that word to one day bring all people to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the Lord would accomplish his holy purpose in calling many joyfully to know his redemption, and that we, as the people of God, would live lives of service as a kingdom of priests in accordance with God's holy will. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of God, that many men would be called to the service of the Church and to suffer for the gospel, confounding her enemies with Christ's wisdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Church of Jesus, that he who provided fish for his apostles and sent them out as fishers of men would bless the word and gather in as many as could be saved. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all fathers and mothers, that God would strengthen their faith and increase their joy in the gospel, and that they would declare the mighty acts of God to the generation to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all rulers and all the nations of the earth, that God, who orders all nations, would inspire his church to shepherd them unto eternal life. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who struggle among us, we especially remember in our prayers Dwayne and Don and Alice, Margaret and Bernetta, Bill and Gary, Bryston and Joe, Kim and Andrew, Brandy and Maverick, Heather and Gary, Michael and Ray, Chelsea and Norma, Ron and Holly, Betty and Leo, Marisol and Tom, Keith and Ellen, and all of those, Lord, who we name before you in our hearts, that God would give them faith and grace and be glorified through their trials. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Gracious God, we also want to raise up prayers of joy and thanksgiving. Lord, we raise up our prayers with Randy and Diane Roars, who last Friday were able to celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. And gracious God, as they reach this milestone in their lives, we thank and praise you for all of the blessings that you have shown to them. We pray, Lord, that you would continue to be an ever-present part of their home, that you would strengthen them in love toward you and in love toward each other. And now we pray for the faithful reception of Christ's very body and blood, that God would give us the Holy Spirit, that what we receive with our lips, we may keep in holy hearts and show forth in holy lives. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, you are holy, and you sanctify us in Christ. Give us strength during temptation, courage in times of fear, comfort in distress, and resolve in the face of persecution. Help us to abound in hope in every circumstance,
through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was crucified for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, with all of the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross.
Amen. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated. We join in singing the closing hymn, hymn 478, The Day of Resurrection.
Down be.